All right, guys, we are back here with the Billion Dollars Writers Club. So right now we are with a Mr. Gordie Goldworth. We have an amazing writer. Go ahead, brother.
Hello, everyone. This is Gordie Goldworth speaking from Nigeria, live from Lagos. And I'm privileged to be on the show with you guys today to share my thoughts on my recently published book.
Awesome. Amazing.
And I'm grateful to Joshua for giving me the opportunity. It's really a great opportunity to be on the podcast. This is actually my first podcast, so hooray.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on there, and thank you for giving me those thanks. It's an honor to have you on here as well, especially this being your first podcast. This is a great honor to be able to host you and be able to present you to the world. I just want to take the time for people to be able to get to know you, get to know your works, exactly what genre it is that you focus on, and what it is that you offer and can give to everyone. So, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, what is it that you, well, we know that you write. That's one thing we do. We know that you're published, but what is it that you write? What is your book, if you care to tell us?
Okay, the book I'm going to be talking about today is the most recently published. It's actually, I'm a 22-year-old person, first of all, just to clear things out. Mm-hmm. Antoinette, it's a name of a person, but I used it just because it's a unique name, and just because there's Ant in the name, so I used it to like merge with the way the book is about and everything. So I'm going to be talking about the book straight up.
Okay. I love your creativity already, being able to take personal, you know, influences and combine them into the name to be able to put a personal spin on your creative works. I love that.
Yeah, thanks about that. So the book is about a teenage. Should I talk about, well, while I was writing the book, it took me like 4 years.
Okay.
Because I was in between school. I was schooling in the university. So it took me about 4 years to actually compile everything.
Hey, that's fine. There's no time limit or no time constraints on creativity.
Yeah. So the book is about Adam Addison, a teenage high school student who got to discover about his ancestral lineage.
Okay, so you said his name was Adam?
You said what?
What was the character's name again?
Adam Addison.
Adam Addison. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's on a journey to discover his lineage. And
That was the first scene in the book is him like waking up
mm-hmm.
in the morning. Like he's usually going to school as a teenager. So he woke up one morning to like, yes, I want to go to school. And that morning changed. Like it was different from every other morning. So he woke up and found out that he shrank in size.
That's
the first instance in the book. He shrank in size. Mutation took place. I don't want to talk much.
No. See that right there. See, you know what? Everybody I've had on so far, they keep doing it. They be, I don't want to talk too much. No, spoil me. Bring me in. I'm going to read your books, but hook me in.
I'll
you know,
just give highlights.
You got to hype this up. This is your moment right now to get everybody who's listening hooked. Don't be like, hey y'all, I'm not going to tell you too much. Like, that's going to be like, okay. I don't want to know. Well, tell us, get us hyped, get us into it. Make us love this the way you love it.
So imagine you were a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
You woke up one morning after wasting yourself in sports, like doing football the day before, and you were exhausted. Then you fell asleep like a log of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Then you woke up one morning and you found ants crawling into your mouth. And while they crawled into your mouth, they digested in your stomach and you mutated into a miniature figure of the size of an ant.
Well, dang. I would be first of all terrified. I would definitely believe that God has chosen to punish me. So,
and Adam Addison had a Nigerian mom,
mm-hmm.
who was very, very outspoken and very disciplined of a woman. She came into his room yelling, like, why are you not ready for school? She didn't find him in his room because he shrank in size. So we had to, like, the ants communicated with him. They were taking him to their colony,
mm-hmm.
to like, because his ancestral lineage is from, it's angelic. You know, they say when the angels came on earth, they mated, they came into the, what they call human daughters, the daughters of man.
Mm-hmm.
And the four giants. So Adam Addison is an ancestral bloodline. He has an ancestral link to the giants, which gives him superb power.
Okay. So he's shrunk and he has angelic titanic power. So question.
He doesn't have powers, but his bloodline, you have to read the book to get the full gist. But let me explain it. There is a book that came from the heavens to the earth with the angels. They gave it to their giant offsprings to cater them in case of wars, in case of famine, like for difficult times. The book was like a magical book. It had spells in it in dictionary format.
Mm-hmm.
So they said spells in that book and things happened like in a snap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way you can just say a word like Zesisto and you can turn water to wine, that kind of thing.
Okay. So we're getting into
in that book was like contents, like things he could see, and only the bloodline to the giants could be able to use the book. Only the angelic bloodlines. So the ants were the guardians of the book. Before the last giants perished, the ants were given the, how would I say, they're given the authority over the custody of the book. So anytime a descendant passes away, the book vanishes and goes to another colony. Mm-hmm. The ants guard the book and look for a way to pass it on to the next descendant. And Adam Addison was the next available descendant in this story. So we're talking about how Adam Addison got his birthright, the book and all his powers, how he used it for a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
He used it like to get a girl in his high school. He used it. He was using the book to an extent where he used it and he regretted ever using the book.
Wait, so question. So Adam,
you know when you over,
I got a question for you because you lost me for a second. So does Adam know about his lineage and bloodline and the book and everything prior to him getting
the ants made him find out about it. They took him to their colony. You know when in their ant caves, you know an ant colony, like a hive.
Oh yeah. All right. I'm very well aware, but I'm slightly confused on the chronological order of how this just goes down. So he had no knowledge of his lineage and everything prior to the ants crawling in his mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So the
ants took him to the colony,
mm-hmm.
and told him everything about who he is.
Okay. So that's kind of what I want to hit on right there, because like I want to know of your story. I'm loving finding all this lore and the combinations of what you have going on. But for yourself and your readers and your listeners' sake, in like 2 to 3 sentences, kind of summarize what this story is about. Without having to go into an elongated paragraph. Like if you, like if I was to say Alice in Wonderland is about a girl who stumbles down a hole and lands into a mystical world with, you know, weird and odd creatures. Boom. You know, yeah. You know, like if you're able are you able to summarize your story so that way it has a beginning, middle, and end understanding before we continue? Like I want to know what the story is. Like what is Adam's journey? Like once he discovers he discovers his lineage. But how does it play into and like what's the hook and what's the fear factor in it? What is the antagonistic force behind him finding out about his lineage? Like the ant shrinking him wasn't a bad thing. So yeah. from what you're saying. So after this lineage event where they reveal everything to him in the hive, does he like return to normal size and have to go on this adventure and journey or something? Like, you know,
it's not. Okay, so this story is more like science fiction.
Of course, of course.
A little bit of romance and, let me say, thriller. So it's not like fantasy. Like, there are a lot of realistic, it's just like, there are a lot of realistic things said in the book, not just dreams. It's not dreams. Like, there are realistic things that we know by everyday, day-to-day experiences. They were mixed up and formed into a story. So okay, back to what you were saying.
Yeah, so say that one more time for me again.
Instead of using the powers as for worldly gains, mm-hmm. for possessions and everything, he was supposed to learn and know how to, because it's a big responsibility. When you have so much power, he later used it to solve crimes at the ending part. He started solving crimes most of the, after he went to the university and a lot of things happened in the university. He solved crimes. Because this is just the first part of the book. Because at the ending part, he actually, that ending part is the conclusion. So I don't want to spoil the whole plot by giving you 90% of the story already.
That's fine. And
some excitement to the reader. I can't just say everything because I've said a lot.
Well,
there has to be some sort of absolutely suspense, like something.
I completely understand you on that. And that's why I would like you to focus on being able to summarize your story in a small hook. There's a show. There's an anime called Attack on Titan. Not sure if you've heard of it. It's pretty popular. But if I was to say, hey, man, Attack on Titan is this anime about people who live inside the walls and there's titans on the outside that want to freaking eat them. You'd be like, damn, that's crazy. And then the hook line of that is like, yo, in episode one, the main character's mom gets eaten right in front of him. You'd be like, dang, that's wild. That's crazy. Like, hold up. I might need to watch that. That's what I want you to do.
Let me drop it. The whole book was a dream to prepare him for what is about to happen.
What's about to happen?
That's going to be in the second book. Like, the whole book is a dream, like a lucid dream to prepare him for the real responsibility, because the angels are not going to give you a book. I want you to destroy the whole world with it. The whole book was a dream to prepare him for the next chapter of his life.
Okay, but what does he have to do? Like, what is this? Is he like on some Hercules? Like, he got to complete these like 12, 13 labors. Does he have to go and slay the four saint beasts? Does he have to go and collect the seven dragon balls? What is it that he has to do with this spell book and this grimoire, this angelic divine?
You know, it's more like, okay.
Like, if you were to compare your story to a flow of something, like, is there like a training arc, a tournament arc? What is it that he embarks on that changes him? Hello?
The responsibility.
Okay.
Just the responsibility of being that person and helping people with his book.
Okay, and, so what I would like,
because by using the spells, he lost one of his friends to it. So he vowed not to use it, misuse it anymore. And it's just a lot of emotional roller coaster.
Boom, right there. That point right there is what you need to kind of, not need to, but I would like you to kind of focus on. Because if I picked up a book and was reading the back of it, and it ranted on sort of in the way in which you have, I'll put it down. But if you, on the back of your book or in a short synopsis or a couple sentences, told me when Adam, you know, when he abuses the power that was blessed upon him by the angels, and when it cost him the life of his friend, you know, or when an ill-fated mistake cost the life of his friend, Adam turns away from his chosen bloodline lineage of divine angelic powers, like something that shows a conflict in the story and conflict in the character. That's what you have to hook it with, you know. Being that I've gathered the kind of the stage you are, like as in form of writing, and even published successful authors and writers still can learn and grow. You know, my father told me this when I was a very young boy, and it will stick with me for the rest of my life. But what he informed me of is that a wise man knows he knows not enough, meaning that once you become close to the idea of learning new things, then you find yourself stuck in a stupor for the rest of your life until you decide to break from that. So what I'm essentially throwing at you is just advice and wisdom to grow, because it sounds like you have all the components for a great story. You just got to get better at delivering that to make people want to pick it up and read it, you know.
All right.
Because I've done what you've done before in my history, in my past. Like, you know, like in my head and on paper, my book is amazing. But as soon as somebody asks me about it, I'm like, oh, it's this character, Josh, and he does this, and he has this cool attack, and but then he's got to go here and do that. And it's like, I'm looking at my person that I'm talking to, looking them in their eyes, and they're glassy-eyed because they're not listening, because they're completely lost, you know?
All right.
Even, like, and this is to keep our podcast as real, raw, uncut. While you were talking, I had to actually catch myself twice, because I'm actually aware to when my brain starts to drift off into other thoughts and territories. And I caught myself twice. I was like, no, bro, listen to him. Like, listen to the story, understand it, so that way you can give him better feedback. But that's half on me, half on you.
That,
no, you're welcome. And when you speak about your book, I don't know if maybe in your area that you're in, or maybe you're just like a very like nonchalant, you know, stoic kind of speaking man. But I want to hear your love and passion for this character and this story, and as well as the other characters in it. You know, I need you to think about this. Millions of people are listening. How many people do you want to go and be excited to go pick up your book after this? You need to rile them up. That is your goal.
Uh-huh.
You know, that is what we are to do here. You know, it's
all right.
to grow, to be able to get that exposure, but also to point out, you know, faults that we may have that can help us grow. Like I would love to read your book. If it's available on Amazon, or if you'd like to provide me with a copy that I could read and review, I would be more than happy to do so. I have a degree in creative writing. I have a mother who, you know, is big on English, and she is just, she's part of her and my father are the reason why I am into writing, but she's the reason why I'm a stickler for grammar. She's the reason why I can catch punctuations, where I can structure sentences. Like I'm able to, even when I write, I can maneuver paragraphs in a way that makes them flow better. Because when I reread and proofread, like when I read, if there's something that normally happens with readers, and you'll be reading a passage, right? And then you'll have to go back a couple paragraphs to reread something to get something. If that happens, I try to change the structure of the paragraph so that way my reader doesn't have to backtrack. That way they're able to just keep flowing from sentence to sentence, to period, question mark, quotation to the quotation, and just keep it on moving page to page, not having to flip back unless they want to go back and look at something. But essentially what I want you to be able to do, because we are, you know, going to be running short on time here, is to like the next time I have you on, I want you to really carry that enthusiasm. And it doesn't mean you have to be all super bubbly and excited. It's just, there's a lack, like I couldn't hear your love when you were speaking. Like it felt like you were bored by your own story, and that will carry on to other people. You know, like whatever emotion you're throwing out there, that energy is going to travel, you know. And the person I had on the show before you, like, I was able to hear all of it. Like, they actually didn't even tell me the name of any of their characters from their initial story. They told me about their story, but I'm very hyped up for their story, because they actually were speaking about the magical system and they were just the world building to it, and it was just a lot. But it's the enthusiasm they had, and they followed a flow. You know, your story flows, yes, and I'm very interested into reading, especially with you being from Africa, and it sounds like a lot of your creativity pours in from a mixture of, you know, divine Christian beliefs and a lot of, you know, African deities and folklore and whatnot. And I'm very fascinated with that combination, because normally that combination is seen as something like to stay separate. But what I like is that you're taking that take on it. And I'm very fascinated with it. I just want to see you or hear you speak on it well, and then, you know, weave your words so that way you can illustrate a picture in the minds of the people that are reading your book and are listening to your words. I'm a very creative and vivid person, so it was very easy to go ahead and listen to you and form how it pictures in my head. But what I want you to take from this is to be able to orchestrate the story. Like, pretend as if your life depends on somebody understanding what this story is without reading your book. Like, that's something I wanted to get writers out of the habit of. Stop expecting people to go read your book, like, right away. Like, tell them about it, get them hype about it, even spoil it for them. Fuck them, spoil them. They don't want to read it right away, that's their fault. You know, spoil them, get them hyped up about it, and then they'll come to it. You know, writers are like, well, I don't want to tell you too much, I don't want to spoil too much. Okay, why not? You know, hook them in, reel them in. You know, I really like what you got. I don't feel hooked yet. Like, I'm personally hooked because I can envision where this story is going. But you gotta remember, not everybody is as smart as you, and not everybody thinks like you. And I don't mean that in a derogatory manner, like other people are stupid. I mean that everybody thinks differently. And you gotta weave your words in a way that paints a picture in their brain, because everybody sees. You if you can paint the right picture in their mind, they see what you see. You know, it doesn't matter about what you're really saying at that point. You gotta orchestrate a beautiful canvas in their mind. So I wanna know what inspired you to you know, go into this story. But first, we're gonna take a short break. Boom. So what actually is some of your inspirations?
I grew up watching a lot of, you know, superhero movies.
Okay.
And I would say that left a mark on me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Left a mark on me.
So let me ask you this. Who's your favorite superhero?
You said what?
Who's your favorite superhero?
I'll say probably Spider-Man.
Okay. You know what? I feel like Spider-Man has a good amount of popularity in Africa, especially because of Anansi, the spider deity.
Yeah,
I feel like Spider-Man kind of, come on now, like, that has to be part of the reason. Plus, Spider-Man's cool, and he's the only one out of the group that's just, you know, had a big cultural diversity in wearing his suit, like, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, so what is it to the whole hero trope that pulls you in, that inspired you?
What? Come again?
What is it about heroes that pulls you into them? Like, what is it that inspired you about a hero?
When you watch most of those movies, like, it's somewhere you can, like, you know, there's a part of your brain that just relaxes, you know. You just go somewhere else. That's just the basic way to explain it.
So you
just go somewhere else. And
so to take people on a magical
journey,
you know, huh?
On a journey.
Yeah. Yes. Basically, that's what you like. That's what inspires you to write, to be able to take them away from the realities of where we are and build a whole new world. You know, to be able to
making people happy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with escapist fantasies, whether that's in a, you know, thriller or horror novel, a sci-fi fiction, you know, sci-fi fiction, a sci-fi novel, you know, it can be an erotic novel, whatever it is that takes you away, that takes you to that happy place, you know, go there. You know, I'm glad you said that, because that's a big part of writing. You know, and there's a lot of reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, because it's kind of like a stigmatism on artists and writers. They're like, oh, you want to be a writer? You want to paint? You want to draw? Well, go waste your life. But at the same token, the building blocks for, like, existence are with our words. And I mean that on the spiritual aspect of our musicians, architects, doctors, scientists, politicians, celebrities. Like, majority of these people all have read a lot of books in their life. It's something like, even though people aren't readers, they read on average, most people, human beings, read at least 5 to 10 books in their life. Whether they read them completely and understand them, that's, you know, I mean, just keep it real. I mean, just keeping it real. Not a lot of people, like, really read, you know. It's a certain segment of humans that genuinely, like, pick up books and read, especially nowadays. But what I'm saying is, to take these people on these journeys, like, I've actually met an architect in Dallas, Texas, who informed me that they got into architecture because of a building that they saw in an anime. It was an old school anime that I had never heard of, but it was the design of that building that they saw when they were 11, 12 years old that inspired them to want to create and design their own buildings. And it's like, that's really cool that, you know, somebody created a story and drew this, and then it inspired somebody who later became an architect who was, you know, designing their own, like, state-of-the-art homes and stuff like that, which is really cool. So what I want to say to everybody listening and to you is to push on with what you're doing and hold on to that beautiful concept of taking people on a journey, because you never know how exactly you're influencing the world. Which can be good and bad, you know, depending on, you know, what people take from your book. So, you know, that's a pretty cool, you know, inspiration and foundation you've built upon. So, yeah, man, like, it sounds like you got a lot going on. It sounds like you have a lot to build upon and put together. I'm definitely going to check out your book. Like, everybody I interview, I'm going to go get a copy. I'm going to read it. You can send me a copy, or I can get a copy. One way or another, the world is going to know. I'm going to bring it up in another podcast about your book, and after reading it, and give it a formal review. And then I also... Joshua. What's that?
I said, thank you, Joshua.
No, there's no problem at all. Like, it's really not a problem. I want to see people succeed, and I want them to grow. It will only happen if they want to grow and want to succeed. And to do that, What I need, like, everybody that comes on this show and you know, takes from it, you know, I want you to take from this show, but I want you to give back to the community. And what I mean by that is, you know, any advice, anything that you would have liked to have known when you were starting out writing, anything that you would have liked to have done or known of?
I was hoping you asked this question.
Yeah. I want to know, like, what is it that you like, advice that you would like to give out there, and you know, something that you wish you would have known when you started out?
Well, if you because a lot of people are going to discourage you down the line. That's what everyone needs to know.
True.
People are going to tell you, you don't do it. It's nonsense. People are going to tell you a lot of things that will put you down, but you have to believe in yourself. And especially if you have someone, like, because I had my sister, like, my sister was, look, I had a couple of people read it, which I started writing my secondary school days, and the first thing I wrote, my teacher looked all around school for me the next morning. She was asking everyone, where is this guy? She finally found me, and she was like, that what you wrote was really nice. I was like, it didn't really feel like something to me, but I just felt, okay, I need to focus on this.
I like
maybe
that.
I need to focus on this.
That moment is what changed you.
You said what?
I said, I like that moment, like, inspired and changed you.
Yeah. And I wrote, like, I went to see, like, a government official sometime, and he and his son, we were dining, and he just said we should write about something, and I wrote something else, his son added to it, and he was also like, I saw the shock on his face. I was like, I better be focusing on this thing, like, I think I got magic hands. But down the line, I was put down. Like, I had relatives, like, family telling me, you can't, like, you're not creative, like, you shouldn't be doing this.
Like, I think we all go through that.
Supposed to put me down. Look, I actually deleted, like, the document, like, not out of anger, but I was just like, I deleted it.
Man,
I went to the cycle bin to, like, pick that up, and I just continued writing.
Good.
This story is not actually supposed to be out there. I actually deleted it. But thanks to Recycle Bin, who created Recycle Bin? I don't know. But thanks to Recycle Bin.
Thank that person. No, but yeah. I'm really glad you mentioned that. People need to hear that too. The discouragement, the wanting to just throw it all away and just give up. I love the fact that you didn't. I love the fact that you threw that down and you was like, man, let me pick this back on up. Let me keep on writing. I like that. Out of everything we discussed so far, that is golden, you know. Just even when you want to quit, even when you throw it down and say I'm done, you better pick it back up. You better pick it back on up. That's what I'm talking about. I like that. So, yeah, I'm actually even more. See that right there, like hearing this now I'm hearing the love come out. Now I'm hearing your passion for creating, for word weaving, for creator crafting, you know. For talent talking, you know, so I'm very fascinated, and I can't wait to read and find out more. We're coming up to the end of our podcast. It was amazing to have you on and get to know you. I love being able to get to hear different people, you know, engage them differently, understand that everyone talks differently. Everyone has different lingo. Everyone has different styles. And this is not the first time we're going to speak. And, you know, I'm going to bring you back on, you know, in a couple of weeks, maybe a month, see where you're at, you know, let your fans, you know, get familiar with you and understand that you are growing and progressing. So that is just what we're going to do.
All right. Yeah.
Well, you know, go, if you could real quick, you know, for everybody listening, let them know, you know, where they can find your work, whether it's on Amazon or if you got an Instagram, you know, this is your chance to let them know. I'm going to post all of your links.
On Instagram, you can follow the page at the Antoinette Tale. On Twitter is Antoinette Tale, AntoinetteTale. With Tale, TALE. That's on Twitter. And on the Instagram is The Antoinette Tale. Because I can possibly say a link that has like a lot of letters. So
oh, the link is I wanted you to, pages. I just wanted you to say it so that way they familiarize with it. But I'm going to post your links in the description to this podcast. So when they, you know, they hear us, right? They clearly hear me right now saying this. You know, if they want to go and check your stuff out, they can go and look in the description and check it out. But everybody, that's going to wrap it up for today with our Billion Dollars Writer Club. We have Gordeed Goldford, amazing writer with his book, his style, a mixture of divine Christian beliefs and African mythological deities and gods. And I'm very fascinated with it. I'm going to be bringing you guys more information in the next couple of weeks on this book. That's going to conclude us for today. You got anything to say, brother?
Thank you. That's all I got to say. Thank you, Joshua.
All righty. It was my pleasure having you on.
Everyone, thanks to everyone listening, taking your time to listen to me. I really appreciate it. Thank you, everyone.
And to highlight on what he just said, thank you all. The purpose of this is to grow, to understand each other, to listen to each other and understand where we are, how we can help each other, because some of you out there listening may be able to strengthen and help our brother, our fellow writer and creator right here. And he may be able to turn around and help you guys out as well. You guys can connect and network with each other and build with each other. One thing that I'm killing and ending right now is this idea that everybody has to climb on top of each other or be shady or just put out their stuff and not invest into anybody else. Let me tell you a secret. People can sniff out fakeness. And if you're somebody who's out there trying to just put stuff out to have to take away from people without putting anything in, you're not going to succeed. Selflessly put yourself out there and unconditionally give to others. Don't expect anything back and watch how you grow. So that is my email going off. I gotta wrap this up. I love you guys. This is Yehoshua Joshua Bass. Love you guys. Peace.